those that are listening together, our Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, this evening we walk in the light, your light. We receive insight in your insight. We are blessed in our hearts as we receive the truth in clarity concerning your Son Jesus. We behold him as he sees us in him. He is glorified. We are edified. Amen. Matthew 28. Obeying the leading of the Spirit. So I'll just refresh our mind a little bit. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in the earth. Now, when you say all, the all must refer to what he was discussing, right? That doesn't include government or commercial authority. Then in 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, which means to make disciples, where you have the word mathetes, M-A-T-H-E-T-S, means to raise students, make students, cause people to learn, make disciples of all nations. Then we have in verse 20, teaching them, which is to instruct, because that is the active word of making disciples. You don't make disciples by gathering them, it's good to gather. You don't make disciples by loving them, it's good to love. You don't make disciples by giving them food, it's good to give food. You make disciples by teaching, didasko, teaching them. Where we have the word didache, a kind of speaking, a kind of explanation from the scriptures. Okay, good. So teaching them to observe what things soever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always till the end of the age. So we say, Christ is who and what and in what we learn. Christ is who, what, and in what we learn. So Christ is not a central figure of what we know or should know. Christ is the figure. He is the beginning and the end. And he's the content, he's the container. He is what we are learning. And so in that learning, for example, in Ephesians chapter 4, remember we're looking at obeying the leading of the Spirit. And I told you the background of this is to have listened to the series on leading and perception. And we have different ones we've taught over the years. And we have a book, The Leading of the Spirit, which I ask you to be studying in this series, right? This series is just complemented. We should be through next week, Wednesday. Okay, so he says in Ephesians 4:20, Paul says, we have not so learned Christ. We have not so learned Christ. Ephesians 4:20. What he meant, that will bring past feeling in verse 19. He says, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to walk all uncleanness and greatness. We have not so learned. Now, the word here is mantano, used 25 times, mantano, M-A-N-T-H-A-N-O. It's the practice of learning. We have not so learned Christ. And he uses that term three other times, not 25 times, but let me mention three. Romans 16:17. It said, not the doctrine which you have learned. Contrary to the doctrine, Romans 16:17, which you have learned. Romans 16:17. Then in Philippians 4:9, he says, whatever you have seen or learned in me, do. Whatever you have seen or you have learned in me, do. Philippians 4:9. Philippians 4:11. I have been instructed, both to be to abound and to abase. Philippians 4, verse 11. Whatever those things which we both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and God of peace shall be with you. Verse 11. I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. That's the word actually. I have learned, that is, in whatever state to be content. Now, the word here, okay, the other one, 2 Timothy 3:14. 2 Timothy 3:14. But continue thou in the things that thou hast learned, and have been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Alright, good. Now, this word, mantano, is a tense that brings in both the past tense, the present tense, and the future. It's like what you have learned, that you are learning, that you will keep learning. Okay? So in discipleship, which we have said, is not a program in the church. Discipleship is not a program. It's not a conference. It's not a seminar. Discipleship is the continual work of teaching and listening and learning and growing in the body of Christ. So it's in the perfect tense. Now, write this down. This is vital. The truths about the faith are learned constantly. Sometimes all we do is remind ourselves. Because the truths of the faith are definite, a whole lot of repetition will come. We'll repeat the things I told you before. Science thrives in innovation. Commerce in innovation, discoveries. But Christianity does not thrive in innovation. It thrives in tradition. It thrives in the consistency of his truth. In other words, you will keep hearing the same thing, again and again. So the truth of the faith are learned, and they consistently must be heard. Now, go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. There's something Paul says in verse 3. He says, for a time will come, now he told him in verse 2, preach the word, be instant, 2 Timothy 4:2, in season and out of season. So a preacher of the gospel must be ready to say the same thing. And I've said this to you before. The moment you don't love to say the same thing, you are preparing yourself to enlist in the school of heretics. That is, you are getting set. You are just you're applying for it. You may get your vision approved by those who know how to do it. So he says a time will come when they will no longer endure, verse 3, sound doctrine. Now I want us to just focus on the word endure. The word endure is a Greek word, anecho, A-N-E-C-H-O. It means to give room for, to allow to stay, to bear with. To give room for, to allow to stay, to bear with. Some will say to tolerate. That depends on the shade of grammar you like. But it simply means what you have to take and then stay with. Now, that shows you something. That it won't necessarily be chummy-chummy. But that's just what you have to bear with. So, the doctrine of Christ is not the kind way. And sometimes, what people have called revival, and I'm not trying to impugn anything here, just to say, this might be what it is. People at some point may not want to stay with the same truths. So they are saying, who is saying something new? I remember someone wrote me, said he was just in his church and he felt that there was something that was missing. I said, what? Then he told me that he was experiencing a lot of problems in his job. I think he lost his job. Was he lost his job? I think so. And then it was between himself and his wife. I can't remember the story correctly. Then he says that, but he was going to church and the pastor wasn't just connecting. So he found someone online who said some words. And somehow he was able to relate those words to a job he got the month after. So he felt it was time to move on. Now I know another couple who told me this. They were trying to have a child. They had one, so we're trying to have a second one. And this was some years ago. I think it must have been 2008 or 7. And so we were trying to have a child. And so they said the church they attended, they had Holy Ghost meetings, teaching services, but the child didn't come. And the doctors gave them one report, just a long story. So somehow they left the country, went to another country in Europe. We got to Europe and somehow they got to a church and quickly, something happened and the child came. So they said, it was a sign. And so on and so forth. Well, I cannot disprove people's experiences, it's theirs. But they felt God wanted them to move. But interestingly, a couple of years ago, they left that church again. But they couldn't tell me. But I found out. You know. So the point is, they are only following appetite. I'm sure they'll have had the child in their former church. Because by the time you look at the children's church in that church, there were children there. I don't think you got my point. There are kids there, but somehow we want to always relate those kind of things. Now, they can't explain because they had to leave and stuff. I don't want to tell you the surrounding circumstance of why they had to leave their present church, because I'll let not the cat out of the bag, the cat and its kittens out of the bag. So I'm okay with the cat where it is right now. But the point is, sometimes some of us don't just want to stay with the same thing. And so, you know, it's not easy to come to the same church every Sunday, Wednesday, Thursday. And if you could get to a point, you might not like the fact that the stage is the same. Can't we do something new? Is it affecting your spiritual life? Somehow. You know? Can the ushers start jumping as a welcomer? Something new, not... You know, you always... And sometimes, in the back of your mind, is also a desire to hear something new. So we're going to endure it. Which means, the truth about obedience to the leading of the Spirit will be the same truth. The same truth of God's Word. The same truth. You've got to learn to endure it and take it as God's Word. As God's Word. And you're learning Christ. And Christ has not changed his persona for you to change what you believe about him. And so, in Matthew 28, verse 20, teaching them to observe, terio, to watch like you're going to keep it so that it doesn't get lost, all things whatsoever I have commanded. Then he said, lo, I am with you, O Raho, in the Greek. That is, you have to keep your eyes on me. You have to keep your eyes on me. And that takes a whole lot of commitment, a whole lot of discipline to, lo, I am with you always. Look at me. Observe me all the time. So the point is, where is he? Obviously, what Jesus is saying here, it doesn't mean I'm with you like you carry me like a handbag, but I'm with you in the sense that I'm in you. Because in John 14, verse 16 to 17, it says, I'll pray the Father and he'll give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Then he says in verse 20, in that day you will know I am in my Father, I am in you, and you are in me. In other words, what he's saying there is that he is in us. So that means that God led you in your spirit. He'll keep leading you that way. You don't have to change how you see the leading of the Spirit. You must get used to how God leads. And get used to it that you will have to endure it. I'll give you a personal experience. Years ago, I tried to do something strange, something new. And I tried to convince myself why I had to. And I was in the ministry, it's about 23 years. I was in the ministry and I wanted to leave the country. And I told myself, well, is it not the work of a ministry? I will do it in whatever country. And then I began to confess, you know, you begin to confess when you don't want to pray about it. So I was confessing, and I wasn't used to confessing to know God's leading, but this time around, I said, I cannot miss it.
I'm the one,
we are both saying it. Sometimes I will go to the fellowship meetings, and I'll be struggling on the pulpit. They didn't know it, and my audience would say, come on! Oh yeah! I'm talking to myself. I walk in the light as he's in the light. And I had this verse I was quoting all the time. Whatever he doeth, hallelujah. Whatever. Look at that word. Whatever. And I was really talking to myself that I will do it. Whatever he doeth, I am the righteous. Oh, glory to God. His steps will not falter. My steps will not falter. And they all get like, hey! Well, I was talking to myself. Anyway, everything was just walking and walking. And at that time, I didn't understand Romans 8:27 to know that it's talking about redemption. So, all things are walking. All things. How many things? All things. And I knew that I was leading myself using the scriptures as my torchlight. So one evening, I asked myself, you are yet to pray. I said, yep. Yep. But I'm speaking in tongues. And as I began to pray, I knew I wasn't supposed to travel. Not to travel anywhere. I travel now. But I wasn't supposed to change my location. Something about prayer was, and I have this background, don't try and use that background, that when I now discover such disobedience, I take 40 days fast. Now don't bother adopting that. Some of you may have to do 400 days. I'm just joking. So I just went on a very long fast. It was 96, not 5. I took a long fast. You know, the desire to travel, just rapture, it now looked like sin on the death. Why? Because I now went back to how I was being led of God. You know, in all that period, I was blessing lives. Because having the grace of God in ministry does not mean you are obeying the Lord. I was blessing that. And one man who bailed me out was Kenneth Hagin. I remember I went to Reverend Dow's office that evening and I saw was like angels knew I was disobedient. So he just forgot his book in the office. He wasn't reading it. So I just saw it following God's plan for you. I've read the book before, several times before that day. I just saw it. Like the book was telling me, following God's plan for your life. Following God's plan. So I took it. And Reverend Mark Ibitoye then told me, he said, why are you going to, so what are you doing with it? I said, I just want to read it. And so I began to read it. It's Kenneth Hagin. Pray about it. Wait on the Lord. God only blesses his plans. I've heard this before. You know what I said? You don't want to endure sound doctrine. But then somehow, you now go for one program. And so I say, some of you here, you want to travel. Everything standing against your destiny. You know, Eker! That's the man! That's the man! And then, so I say, there's someone is here, you want to leave the country. Then he puts his own brain. You should not go. He wasn't told to say that. Or say, the Lord is saying, whatever sounds like an obstacle, just like it was of Jericho, in this church, it is down. And then you get the visa the next day. As though everybody who got the visa that day were led by the Spirit of God. See, if God didn't want it to happen, he would have denied me.
If God did not want it to happen, why would Adam eat?
Hallelujah. So you have to endure it. Get used to it. So how does God lead us? Let's use that term. In the spirit. He doesn't lead you through your HOD or through your dad or through your cousin or through your managing director or through your wife or through your husband. God leads you in Christ. You there? Get used to that. He's called God's Logos in John 1:1, and so he's called the life. I am the life, John 14:16. He is the light, John 8:12. So he's the Logos of God. He leads us. So how did he start leading us? From the new birth. Right? Are you still there? Are you still there? From the new birth. So I was saying earlier, you know, you will get someone to address it. Did I ever tell you? I must have said it in this series. How I came back from Southern Africa. And then a friend of mine, whom we were together and we're, you know, the things of the Spirit together, he said, God told him that if you know somebody who is walking in my plan for his life, see Shegun. And I told him, the funny thing is that I'm yet to tell him what I'm saying now. It's 20 years that I just started taking his words very, very carefully. This guy can mislead me. He can. He can mislead. Praise the Lord. There was a guy like that who came to me on Facebook recently. He said, sir, I see something about sins coming to church. It's called a prophet, you know. Title, function, verb, name, I don't know. So he says, he mentioned some countries in the world. He said, I just see, and I see, and I see. I said, wait, sir. He said, sir, and I just believe the Lord, you know, in the next couple of months, the Lord will give you some platforms. And that platform, when you speak the donations, I'm used to those prophecies. I wanted to ask him, when did you get saved? It's an important question. I know this vocabulary. I can tell you who first said it that you heard it from. In the old covenant, they say, woe to the man who says God has spoken when he never said anything. Just tell me, I desire that you have platforms. I met a woman, a prominent preacher of the gospel, and she says, We can do things together. You want to go around the world? I said, no. Holiday, yep. So, I mean, you don't want to preach the gospel in every nation? I said, no. I don't have that desire at all. You know, as a younger preacher, that was my desire. I even drew the map of the world on my room. My dad saw it 4 times. So I put our address somewhere. This is Nigeria. So I said, to the nations. So I put the years. In 1994, somewhere in front of Lagos State University, me and some folks who sat down and said, Africa, 3 years. And we prayed 3 days. We now went to break our fast in Professor Olopade's house. And went to, God, Africa, 3 years. So I said, you think it's me? They're not be giving those words. I've drawn globe, world map before you got saved. And the week after, we had opportunities to go to India, Pakistan, not the nice nations yet. And within 4 months, we had gone to 8 countries. So like the vision was for that time, not an appointed time. I went to Bible school and they said, sir, your teaching gift is like Paul. I've been hearing that thing for years. Even though right now, I condemn many things I taught that day, but it was like Paul still. You need to grow out of such nonsense. You get my point? Endure sound doctrine. Hallelujah. Endure how the Lord leads you. Praise the Lord. Get used to it. And don't fall for it. Do you know, there's a way you can desire something so strong, your desire will turn to God's voice. So strong. You just hear. Because you have heard the voice of God before, you just create it. Yes, yes, yes. Yes. As I said it to you, it shall come. Oh, yes, it shall. It shall. So you got to endure it. Praise God. So in Romans 8, see how? Romans 8, verse 8. So those that are in the flesh cannot please God. Verse 9. Well, you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwells in you. If any has not the spirit of Christ, is none of this. If Christ be in you, the body is dead to sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. And if the spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you, verse 11. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal body by his spirit that dwells in you. And you are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. But if you through the flesh, you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the spirit, modify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Verse 13. Verse 14. As many as are led, taken from the flesh, by the spirit of God, they are the sons of God. What's that? Led by the spirit. They are the sons of God. Then what does it say about being led? For you have received not the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption. Hereby we cry, Abba Father. So, the first and most vital leading of Christ, you receive it. It then says in 15, 16, so the spirit bears witness with our spirit. And that's the word sumatorio. You see that in leading of spirit. It means an evidence of two have become one. And it's vocal and loud. It's active. Sumatorio. S-U-M-M-A-R-T-U-R-E-O. It's used in Romans 9:1 as well. It's active. My spirit bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. That is, there's an active voice to this. Same spirit. So by faith, we heard the gospel, and what happened to us is called leading of the Spirit. By faith. Ezekiel 36, 26, 27, we studied it in this series already, says that I will put my spirit within them and cause you to walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. So, we have received the leading of the Spirit. He took us from darkness to light. Took us from the power of Satan to God. He took us from the flesh to the Spirit. From the Lord to the grace of God. From works to faith. And he did that by faith. And so, Colossians 2:6. Are you in church? Colossians 2:6. Now says, as you have, Colossians 2:6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. As you have received. One thing I found out is the leading of the Spirit of God is so simple, you need to complicate it. You need to. And sometimes I learned to go back to basic things. I remember a couple of months back, just 2 months actually, I went to Ibadan again to visit the Youth Foundation Mission. The Youth Foundation Mission was where I got born again, and I used to be very active. I'm still active, but differently. And so, obviously, before they organized a camp, there's this meeting we used to have, where we pick the theme of the meeting. And so, people will come together, then you will pray. They'll have told you the week before to pray. And when you pray, you will now share what the Lord laid on your heart. It looks very simple. It looks like, just simple. Pray about it, what was laid on your heart. You don't say, God told me. Say, this was laid on my heart. And so I went to just look at it again to remind myself of things that happened many years ago. And so I was sitting there just to observe. Sometimes like that, it's good to just remind yourself of those simple truths. So I sat down and watched, and then I saw how it was done. Interestingly, I didn't pray about it because I'd forgotten that was what the meeting was going to be about. But I just said, well, I could find out what God wants them to focus on. I just said that. And I remembered the simple way we used to just write on paper and say, this is what's on my heart. And many times by sharing what everybody has, we get to know what to emphasize. Just simple, very simple. You know? And so someone got up, as she got up, it was very interesting, it's on video. I just said to someone there, I said, well, this is the thing that's on my heart. And the girl got up and said the same thing. And she was saying, I said, well, that's what was on my heart. And you know, I just saw how simple it was when I was a younger Christian. There was no gra-gra. There was no drama. It was just, it's on my heart. Isn't that? It's so simple. You don't complicate it. It's just that simple. And I remember I came back and I shared to our pastors. I said, it was just the same simple things. You know? And so as you have received the Lord Jesus, even so walking. Hallelujah. Simple. Simple. So that's simple. Verse 6. 7 says, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith that in him, as you have been taught, abounding therein. Perisseuo in the Greek. You are taught to now abound in the same thing. Perisseuo. That means you have been led by God this way. You have been taught by Christ this way. You are now abound in it. In other words, he becomes your foundation and your pillar. So write this down. Keep it simple. What did I say? Keep it simple. Keep it simple. God's word is God's guidance. Keep it simple. The Spirit of God is the same voice in the word. Every time someone tells me, I can't differentiate who is talking to me, I tell you, you've not been listening to the word. If you have listened to the word, it's the same voice. Spend some time in the word. So when you see somebody going to a prayer mountain and is not studying the word, he will hear multiple voices. Stay with the word. Stay with the word. Very simple. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. Don't forget that faith for salvation is also called obedience. Keep it simple. You obey. And you know, the way we obeyed, we didn't have all the details. You just obeyed. I'm not sure that there was a series on Isaiah before I got saved. I just obeyed. Simple faith. Jesus says, he that will receive the kingdom will do it like a little child. That little child just says, is that what it is? Yes, okay, fine. And sometimes the way they talk about when a little child reports back what you said, they'll quote you, but they'll say it with absolute confidence. Simple. Keep it simple. That's it. How God leads us. He's simple. So we said that salvation is called obedience in John 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Stereo, keep my commandments. Which is faith and obedience. In Romans 1:5, salvation is called obedience of the faith. Romans 1:5. In Hebrews 5:9, he calls it to all that obey him. Obey him. Hebrews 5:8. I forgot one. Romans 10. Look at how salvation is explained. Romans 10. Verse 16. For they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who had believed our report? So then faith, by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So faith is called obedience. You obey. Romans 6:17, you obey that form of doctrine. So what has simply happened is, you keep the faith walk. That simplicity of taking the gospel the way it is. It's the same way you keep responding to God. Oftentimes what makes things more difficult is what Jesus gave in the parable of the sower. The lust of this world, deceitfulness of riches, they crowd the word. So the moment you have other things you want to do, other things in your mind, so that simple leading becomes difficult because you have your own pattern. You have your own life, you have your own desire, and things that you want to do as well. So it becomes difficult. But you see, as you stay more in the word, okay, we are able to apply those simple things without complication. Very simple. And one of the most difficult things, you need to write this down, is comparing yourselves with others. There is no standard of living in the Bible for believers. There is nothing like that. There's no standard living. There's no standard for believers. There's no standard on how a church should look like and where it should be located. Those things are ridiculous. There's no Christian profession. There's nothing like that. Except to confess Christ. There's no Christian dress except the whole armor of God. No Christian shoe except the preparation for the gospel of peace. Nothing like that. So you just have to ensure that you are not following someone's standard. Sometimes we're comparing ourselves, then become restless. Restless because we are not meeting up with standards. And you'll always have a rat race ahead of you. You will keep struggling because you won't meet up with anything. 1 John 3:21. 1 John 3:21. Yep. Well, I'm going to do verse 22. Whatever we ask, we receive only because we keep His commandments, just one, and we do those things that are pleasing His sight. It's His commandment that you believe on the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. Just believe. Alright? Just believe. So what we are doing is walking in the same faith. Continuing in that simple response we have through the Word. That simple response. And in John 10, Jesus makes it as clear as possible. In John 10:16, he's talking salvation. He says, other sheep, watch this, have I, which are not of this fold, them also must I bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold, John 10:16, and one shepherd. Now, he had said something earlier in verse 4, talking about the shepherd, when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. Say, I know his voice. Know his voice. Oh, come on, say, I know his voice. To the voice of a stranger, I will not follow. All right, so you actually know his voice. For you to be born again, how many are born again? I know you are. Raise your hand. So that means you know his voice. And so the voice of a stranger, you will not follow. So you know his voice. Say, I know his voice. So you actually know his voice. That's why you are saved. So if you know his voice, you got to just trust the same voice. I'm sorry for using the word trust. I should use that for believers, if you're a believer. But then, it's important to raise that fact. You need to trust that voice. You know his voice. You know it. The voice of a stranger. Now, let's put the word stranger in context. Stranger there will mean the false prophet, those who will deceive. So the voice of error, you will not follow. So the voice of error, I will not follow. That means every believer has an inbuilt detector for error. The 1 John 2:20 says you have an unction from the Holy One, talking about the same thing, error. You know all things, that is, you can't be deceived concerning Christ. So it's that simple. Oh, complicated. It's that simple. You know it. You know His voice. You know His voice in your ears. You know His voice when others say. So therefore, you can put this down. It's natural for me to do God's will because I know His voice. Jesus never asked for the voice of the Father. He spoke with absolute confidence that He knew it. And Hebrews chapter 5 verse 8 says something about Jesus. And watch this now. This is it. Hebrews 5:8. It says, we, I've explained this verse to you. Hebrews 5:8 will say, the way it sounds in the King James is like Jesus learned obedience, but rather were the ones learning. So He should be, though He were Son, yet we learn obedience by the things which He suffered. We learn obedience. Not He learned, we learn. We learn obedience. We learn obedience from Christ. Say, I see obedience in Christ, and I walk in the same light. So we learn obedience from the things that He suffered. Now, in Philippians 2, Philippians 2, we learn from His obedience, Philippians 2, quickly. Now says, let this mind, verse 5, be in you, which also was in Christ. Alright? Let this mindset be in you, which was also in Christ. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So Christ's humility is my nature. I can be that humble. Humility will mean I put away my pride. So in following God's leading, I learn obedience. In following God's leading, I also learn humility, which means there will be things I wanted to do, which I should do, that I'll put aside. And I am able to do it because Jesus did the same thing. So I learn humility. I see it in Christ, and it becomes my mindset. Humility. So in following, obeying leading of the Spirit, I'll learn obedience, I'll learn humility. There is nothing God does through us that we don't learn from. We don't learn from. As you start growing, you start having a different perception to things. For example, I was talking to a pastor a couple of months ago. He said, oh, his members did this for him. I said, when I was a younger preacher, I would have been so offended. I said, but you know what's going on? So what's that? You are growing up. How did we know that Jesus Christ was a love being? It was by His experiences. So the point is, you have to grow up. Your love life as a believer, and not romance, amen, is being put to test. The love of God in you cannot be tested by those who will do nothing wrong. They're always praying for you. Always believing in you. Trusting the Lord for you. No, you need some hard ground. You can't forgive if there's no sin. Oh, I forgive. Some of us boast. I forgive is my nature until something happens. Even God is a judge. So in God's leading, I learn obedience. I learn humility. 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 Look at another thing. Peter, 1 Peter 2. Learn something? 1 Peter 2:21. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow what?
His steps.
Very good. 22. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Anything that you have to curse people, abuse people, and be unruly, beware that that's not God leading you at all. You have to curse people, speak vile words, don't bother yourself. You will succeed, achieve stuff, but that wasn't God. Because there's a peaceable fruit of righteousness that should be found. Yep. I recall something Dr. Abel said in the Power Bible School, the one we had in Lagos. And I hope a lot of folks understood what he said. A man came up and said, well, in his church where he pastors, he's a pastor in that church, that ever since he came in contact with this message, that people say, this message. I don't know what they're talking about, but this message. You know, and that he's been having conflict in his church. Then he says, some of you were in that class, and then his leadership put him on suspension. And then he said, what should I do? Now, as a younger preacher, not now, and I said, do what? Don't compromise! And stuff like that. Brother Higgins said something this afternoon, I was listening to him. He said, you cannot learn the leading of the Spirit from somebody who doesn't know how to be led. You can't learn walking in love from someone who doesn't walk in love. And that's important. You can't learn prayer from someone who doesn't pray. But understand the Greek word prosokomai. Aitio. It's not just aitio. It's tekstako. You can't learn it. If you watch someone who hasn't been consistent, how would you learn being led of the Spirit from someone who is not consistent? He's not consistent. He hops from here to here. He can't teach you that. You can't learn from such a person. That's why I've asked this question before. I said, how many denominations in Nigeria teach the love walk? Because many people pray against enemies. It would be difficult to not be preaching the love walk when after the teaching you say, everybody tell me again my death, hold your head. But when you teach the love walk, it will be, you overcome evil with good. Those adversities you run away from. A dear held a brother in the faith, hopefully so, not brought talks, who said, the Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You get that? Oh, you don't get it. He was preaching in 1994. I said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. That's dishonest. A man said in this country, he said, the Bible says pray for your enemies. He didn't tell you the prayer point. Decide the prayer point. That's heavily dishonest. That's not a false teacher. It's just a false speaker. He's not teaching, he's just speaking. Where were we? No, I said, okay, I was giving the example of Dr. Abel. So he told the guy, he said, well, you have to serve that suspension. Then when you are through serving that suspension, then ask the Lord what he wants you to do. It's not likely you hear the right thing in rebellion. You can't get the spirit out of the flesh. He said, you will first of all serve the suspension, then ask the Lord. That was such wisdom from God's word. Now, I'm not saying that should be everybody's application. I just said that was some wisdom from God's word. That's why Jesus had no guile in his mouth. Was he going to the cross? Yes. Was that the will of God? Yes. Imagine him saying, Pilate, See your mouth like Osho the Bridge. Osho the Bridge is now fine anyway. I'm sorry for that. I think he's in somewhere else. Who did not see neither was God found in his mouth? Who when he was reviled not again? When he suffered, he threatened not, but commit himself to he that judges righteously. You will see commitment and consecration in God's leading. In obeying the leading of the Spirit, you'll find that. Commitment, consecration. The fruit of the Spirit will be seen in God's leading. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, you cannot take away Christian character from God's leading. It will be present in it. 1 Timothy chapter 6. You can't get love out of strife. You can't get darkness out of light. You sure can't get the flesh out of the Spirit. You can't get the Spirit out of the flesh. Always know that. I recall a couple that wanted to get married and they tore an entire ministry up. I said, nothing wrong in getting married, but you've done the right thing the wrong way. Why do you have to do that? Ah, we have to have our will. I felt, no. You don't have to do it that way. 1 Timothy 6, verse 13. I give the charge in the sight of God and who quickeneth all things, and before Jesus Christ, who was before Pontius Pilate, witness a good confession. Jesus gave a good confession before Pontius Pilate. Put this down. You can't separate walking in the Spirit from the leading of the Spirit. You cannot separate walking in the Spirit from the leading of the Spirit. They are together. Because you will yield to God by the same Spirit with which He leads you. You will yield to God by the same Spirit with which He leads you. In Galatians 5:22-23, he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. That he says in 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, which is the word stoichio. Let us walk in the Spirit. So it means in leading of the Spirit, I'm going to have patience. Are there patience? I'm learning. Patience. Long suffering is in there. Then he says, meekness, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness. They are all in how we respond. So when you see the fruit of the Spirit, that's how we respond. The fruit of love, that's how we respond. That will show you what you're doing is a God or not. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Sometimes we want to write books on the body of Christ and then we want to address some things in our books. And I say, well, remove this kind of language. We are not fighting anyone. We want to teach the word. There's nobody in our minds when we're writing. And I always tell those who write books, nope. Take it out, take every language, the void. There's not love, no patience, no kindness. Let's put the word of God there. That's all. So you know, God's leading you. You can have the leading of the Spirit and disobey, and your action looks justified. You can't have strife, and that's how God led you. God can lead you into strife. God can lead you into bitterness. No. Men can strive against you. Men can be bitter against you, but it mustn't be found in you, because that's not how to obey Him. You cannot obey God's leading in the Spirit in the flesh. You have to do it in the Spirit. So you check it out. What's my response like? Galatians 6 and 2 talks about the law of Christ. That's the love of God. There are flesh and spirit. In Galatians 3, 1 and 2, something to just look at quickly, Paul says in verse 2, "This only will I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith." Galatians 3, 2, then verse 3. "Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh?" The word perfect there is the word epitaleo, to perform. Alright. Same word in Philippians 1, 6. "He who began the good work in you is able to perfect it." Epitaleo, perform it. The day of Christ. So there is a performance of those things. Look at Philippians 4. So you know that simple way you study the word every day, you meditate upon the word, and then you act on it in that simple, non-spectacular way. That's how you're going to also respond when you have a leading of the Spirit in any area. You're going to obey the same way. Philippians 4. You learning something? Verse 8. "Finally, my brethren," whatever Paul means by "finally" doesn't mean it's final. It actually means "so therefore." Right? It's just old language. It shouldn't be "finally." "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, any virtue, any praise, think on these things." Think on them. Think on them. Put your thoughts on them. So, in God leading me, I am also learning. I'm learning. And I'm growing. The leading of the Spirit is part of our growing up spiritually. It's the way we put the word to practice. Learn obedience, learn humility. "I want to do something." God says, "Do this one." He says, my response to what God says to do, contrary to what I want to do, could be humility. Gentleness. We must be careful of this Christianism that is all about you. Now, there was a video I saw. I'm trying to see whether I should post it on social media or not. And that video got my attention. This fellow said he saw many Christian groups on social media with hundreds of thousands of followers. They'll just post something. People just say, "Amen, bless you, it's mine," you know, all the stuff like that. If you send it to 1,000 people, today will be great for you. What kind of rubbish is that? Anyway, so he felt this is a joke. So he decided to quote a verse of scripture. And he quoted Luke 4, 7. "If you worship me, I will bless you and give you things," and all. And he said, within a minute, about 10 people liked it. Within an hour or 2 hours, over 600 liked it, and over 400 or so commented, "Amen, it is mine, amen." They didn't even bother to check the scripture. It was Satan who said it. Now, it's not funny because it just shows you. He said thousands. There was a guy, I saw one article on social media, Facebook, and then a friend of mine called me. He said, "Do you understand?" I said, "I don't. I know I'm not intelligent, but you should be." He said, "I don't understand it." But I saw somebody who liked it. I said, "Apt. Dumb." So I got him. What was he talking about? He said, "I think he's saying," said, "you really understand." He said, "No." Why then did you do that? Why do you have to lie? You didn't even read it. One time I put a sarcastic post on Facebook. And I put something. I said, I put something at the back, so sarcastic. A guy said, "Yes, sir, we eat." "Eat what?" You're just too forward. Learning to follow God requires patience. Don't be forward. That's why a sister will say yes before the guy even brings out a ring.
Eventually he says, no, it's not a ring. Oh, yes. This is for, yes.
Say, what's that?
Say, I was just trying to tie my shoe.
He goes, yeah. Whoever brought that culture is a genius. I thought Chris said, you say, let me pray about it. Something like that. But today he said, I prayed about it. God showed me this when I was a kid. You didn't learn that. It's part of obeying the leading of the Spirit. In Acts 16, a typical example, God's plan for your life is not an event, it's a series of things. Most of us always mix up God's plan to achievement. So you say, ah, see it now. Say, see. No, God's plan is a series of things. Praise the Lord. Series of things. Praise the Lord. Acts 16. Are you in church? Look at verse 6. And when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. So God can say no, right? Very good. Koluo, forbidden. That means stop right there. You know, you want to go somewhere, you've gotten your visa, you've gotten people say, come sir, we're going to be a blessing. They say, we cannot wait to have you. Then God says no. People have said, God doesn't say no. His words are yeah and amen. Which one? You are a genius. Which one is yeah and amen? The promise of Christ. That one is yes. This one is you. Are you Christ? Are you the one he promised in the old covenant that is yes and amen? No, God can say no. He just said no. They were forbidden, not forgiven. Of the Holy Ghost to go. To do ministry. To do the work prospers in your hand. That's the latest prayer I'm hearing. The gospel prospers in your hand. People like prosperity. You will get supply for the work. Which work? That evangelism you are doing on your street. Which supply do you need apart from pure water? You all say you want to buy a car. Simple. And support that for you. You know, when you've been around for a few days, you know some things. You know, leave that matter. God said no. We've had times like that as a church. We plan something. I say, guys, let's be slow. Something wrong here. Not because there wasn't a plan, though. That's something wrong. That's... Brother Hagin would say, it's like you're washing your feet with soft song. Something wrong. That's something wrong. Someone say, I command every sense of, don't command anything. Something is wrong. And God says no. And that's good to have a company of people who can recognize God's voice. You see, if you surround yourself with folks who don't give a damn, that's exactly how you will lead. I said that on Sunday about company, being the right company. Remember that on Sunday? The right company. Talking to a friend, and then we asked, how are you doing and all that. I hadn't seen him for a while. Oh, he just told me, he said, you know, we now have this campus here, we're teaching these people, we're translating our books or materials, we're teaching in this language now. I said, just like you said 20 years ago. He said, well, I see what you're doing too, just like you said. Just like you said. Just like you said, God told you.
Just like you said, God told me. Now, that's good to have people who surround you like, they'll keep you in God's will. Because you should never be left to yourself. Anybody, if you're left to yourself, you will do things by yourself. Have people around you. Paul had people around him. You know, he didn't know when to start till somebody said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. He shows you neither Paul nor Barnabas prophesied. There should be people around you who know how to speak the will of God. Not people who say, ah, let's go to Phrygia. We are ready. The visa is out. What is this? What is left? The flyers are all over the place. Everybody is already at the airport waiting for you. But God said no. So what do you learn when God says no? You learn long suffering, character. You learn to hold on. So you are growing. It's practical fruit of the Spirit. Then he in verse 7 again. And they will come to Mysia. They are said to go unto Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Again, they tried to go. The word, oh, who are here? He said, don't. He says, no. So what does he want me to do? This is not, don't do anything. It's just, don't do this one. Praise the Lord. It's not, don't do anything. So, they had to hold on. It's good to have folks like this on your team. Folks who are on your team. But if folks are on your team that you always see them watch DSTV. You know, something happened years ago, and my dad was a very wild person, weird person. He took note of something I never took note of before. He told me, he said, you know why I eventually let you preach the gospel? I said, why? He said, you were so consistent at it. If you didn't hear from God, I was too sure you were not going to last. He said, but you stood at it and you didn't care whatever was going to happen. Then he mentioned something else that baffled me. He said, do you notice that every time I wanted someone to pray for something, there were other Christians in our family. He said, I never went to them. He said, you know why? I said, why? He said, I always saw them watch TV. So I knew that we were not different. But you were always praying, buying Christian books. I knew you would know how to hear from God. Somehow, I thought that made sense. What do you think about that? He said they were always watching TV. He was the one that was watching it with them. He brought the movie to home, but he said, not you. You will always go back to your room. So he knew, this one is close to God. These ones are just pretending. That's some sense, right? That's some sense. So if you have friends that all you share, they just send videos to you. Netflix. They share videos to you. You see how Wakanda. Oh, latest Yoruba movies. Oh, all they share with you are jokes. Comedians. Arole. Wolianda. Bro. You're great for this, bro. They can never be good guy. But folks who can call you and say, I was praying. Hallelujah. You know they pray. You know they know to hear from you. You've watched them over time. They're your friends. Be sure you surround yourself with people like that. And God said no. So watch this. Acts 16. Then passing by Mysia came to Troas. So there's always activity, even though there's inactivity. You haven't stopped. You don't get led for ministry when you are doing nothing. Say, I want to go and know the will of God. You now take your back to Emory. Say, I'll be there for 6 months. When you are back, you will still be back to the same conclusion. Keep going to the service. Keep hearing God's word. keep listening to the word. In the midst of that, you know, when I was a younger Christian, what the Lord told me, very, very precious. He said two things. I won't forget it. You don't have to take that. Just what he told me. He said, if you want to know how I speak, know how I listen to men. And I found out that there's no special voice called the voice of God. I just said to listen to men. How to pay attention to details. Second thing he told me. So some things will happen because you pray. Other things will happen because you meditated upon my word and you spoke it out. Some will happen because you walked in love. Some because you are filled with the Spirit. But either way, everything you do by my word always has a chain of reaction to it. That every practice of the word is a leading of the Spirit in itself. So never look out for the spectacular and miss the supernatural. I'll never forget that. Never. Just do the word. So here's the inactivity. Then in verse 10 or verse 9. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. So they weren't supposed to go to some places, but a particular place. After he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord has called us for to preach the gospel to them. Sombabazo is the word there. It means to prove. See how it took them to prove. Two no's. Two don't do it. They now gathered together. Where? So it's not here, it's not there. They gathered together. Acts 19, where you find that word, Sombabazo. So Acts 19:33. Acts 9:22, Acts 19:33. So it became clear. You know, we don't know this might take a few years. Maybe. It may take 1 year. It may take two. But they were clear. Very, very clear. Very clear. I had opportunities to pastor 20 years ago. 21. I didn't take them. Yes, in my mind, I felt I wasn't supposed to pastor a church. I pastored for people. I would drop it at the point and all that. Till I was sure. And I was really sure. I'm very sure. And even when I was sure, it took me 2 years to put it to practice. 2 years. 2 years. 2006. 2005, sorry. 2 years. It took a while. It took a while. And I said I wasn't going to ask anyone, tell anyone that I was also pastor. So we're holding meetings. And then the meeting got overflow. Going to overflow. So what do we do? Oh, let's start meeting somewhere else apart from this apartment. And that's how the church started, without noise, no inauguration service. We're inaugurating a church. See, Bible cinema. Come. No, I don't. I've never had to do anything that way in my life. Never. Just pray about it. Now see God lead me and things will fall in place. I've never had to reach out to a minister. The Lord is saying we should walk together. Nope. Never. Just pray about it. We watch. Sometimes it's a year, two, three, four, 5 years. Just wait. In that period, you are learning, growing, becoming more mature. Now I'm grateful to God that I wasn't on television in 98 when I got the opportunity. Because now, I think I'm better now. I think I'm smarter now. I think I'm grateful that I waited. Waited. Praise God. Some guys say, where have you been all along? I said, where have you been to? I've been here. Praise God. You know, so sometimes it's just good to wait. And I think that so many things like that, the Lord want me to do, you do, still much in the future. Much in the future. I'm not talking about achievements now, that one day, since community will now be in everybody's bedroom. No. No, please. Nothing like that. I'm just saying things he wants us to do. There are things I know he wants us to do in 5-6 years. I've told the pastors already, some of them. I said, we'll just pray into it and see how exactly he wants us to do it. It's not what we're doing like this. No, something else. I'm not saying we're changing church to house community. No, I didn't say that. I just said there are things that we will do. The body of Christ. Gratitude. So God can say no. He can say no to you going to Abuja and say you should go to local jar. They are both jars. Well, he had jar, Abuja. And he says no. Are you there? In the midst of that, Paul, he didn't go on TV, he went to jail. If you were Paul's associate, and you're Silas, after seeing the man of Macedonia, not knowing the man was probably the jailer, then, Acts 16, you're both there. Say, Silas, I'm here, Pastor. You're there. You said that before, sir. We're going to pray. We prayed and we got here. Pray without ceasing. And they're praying. And then they're out of the place. That's character. Character. You're growing up. Praise God. In 2 Corinthians 12, Paul got the angel of Satan, what you call the thorn in his flesh. And he obeyed the Lord. God just said, my grace, 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10, is sufficient for you. Then he said, I will glory in my infirmities. I will glory in it. A man is so led that people think he is weird, but he is glad. He's led. And he says, imagine Paul says, how, you see, Paul, your friend, you were in Bible school together, and he comes out, how's your ministry been? Then he rose up 2 Corinthians 11, 4 and 12. Taken for dead many times. Stone. The peril of the night. Peril of the brethren. I sure prayed about these things. I prayed. I said, well, our ministry, we just opened a satellite station. And if we and the president of Rome were together. We were together in dinner yesterday. Even took our books. He's so blessed by our message and all that. He's been on Living Word Media for a couple of days. He's been blessed. So. And then you are Paul. Why would you say, Lord? I besought the Lord twice, three times. Paul goes to something three times. Take this away. The Lord says, my grace is sufficient. It's part of the plan. And he says, I will glory in this. So it's always okay to know that God's plan has God's character in it. You know what? We are sons of obedience. Praise God. We know how to obey from the heart. Sons of obedience. We follow God's leading. We know how to do it. Sometimes we have the spectacular God said. John will tell you, I heard a voice speak from heaven. This is my beloved son, whom I'm well pleased. Matthew 17:5, same thing. Mount of Transfiguration, spectacular. But it doesn't happen all the time. That's what we call the audible voice. Just like Ananias, Acts 9:15-16, or from verse 13:14-15-16, where he speaks to them that way. But it doesn't always happen like that. Sometimes it's just that simple assurance in your heart. Just that leading. Just that leading that you just have. Just that inward witness. Attesting to a fact that you should go ahead. Endorsing a fact or refuting it. Not a loud voice or a loud speaker. You know that's God talking to you. And you respond. Respond with patience, gentleness, meekness. Hallelujah. So in obeying the leading of the Spirit, I'll close here. We learn to keep things simple. Keep it simple. That's the way He's been leading. Keep it simple. Always know that God's plan for your life is not achievements. It's not achievements. It's obedience. The result of it, or the fruit of it, is not achievement, it's obedience. And like I said, the fruit of the Spirit. Some have become so proud, haughty, much more in the flesh, they don't love money. That can be God's plan. God's plan can make you love money when God's word says you love money. God's plan can make you lie in ministry. And then they say, how many of you are in church? So we're now this. Or twist your message. No. That's God's plan. So in the work of the ministry, I'm talking to preachers now, just specifically. Follow God. I'll end by saying this, and this is important. There's nothing the Lord leads a Christian to do today that is not related to the gospel. Write that down so boldly and never forget it. There's nothing He leads the believer to do today that is not related to the gospel. Not leading people to have business ideas and take over commerce. I can't but help saying this. I know it looks carnal, but I put out a calculator today and I calculated Jeff Bezos' wealth. Nice cream. 55 trillion naira. That guy's going to buy every Nigerian with their cousins abroad. That's not God's leading. God's leading would rather be billions saved men. So God's leading and God's will and God's plan is tied to the gospel of His Son. God's not leading anybody to start a bank. All those things. He leads us around the gospel of His Son. To walk in it. To live it. To practice it. For others to receive it. That is the leading of the Spirit of God. Because His work on earth is to glorify Christ. That's His work on earth. To glorify, to show Christ to the world. That's His work on earth. To lead us in Christ. That's His work. His work is not governing nations or owning banks or buying land. That's not His work. I know this is very tough, but then just have to give it the way it is. Amen. You blessed.